Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We're following a number of stories in recent days where a simple mistake ended in gunfire. At an Austin hospital, 18-year-old Peyton Washington is recovering in an ICU after surgery, according to her family. She's one of the Texas cheerleaders who police say was shot this week after a friend mistakenly opened the door to the wrong car in a parking lot.
The guy got out and they saw that he had a gun, and so they tried to speed off and he shot his gun like five times or so.
That's Lynn Shear, owner of Woodlands Elite Cheer Company, on NBC News. Pedro Teo Rodriguez Jr. has been arrested in the shooting, and police say he's charged with deadly conduct, a third-degree felony.
In Kansas City, Missouri, a 16-year-old Ralph Yarl was shot after he went to the wrong address to pick up his younger siblings and rang the doorbell. Yarl is black. His father told the Kansas City Star that Yarl is now home recovering. Officials have identified the shooter as 84-year-old Andrew Lester, who is white.
And in upstate New York, 20-year-old Kaylin Gillis was fatally shot after a car she was in accidentally drove up the wrong driveway. Her father, Andrew Gillis, spoke to reporters.
For this man to sit on his porch and fire at a car with no threat is just, it just angers me so badly.
The accused, Kevin Monahan, has been charged with second-degree murder and has pled not guilty. And then there is this, just in today, reports of a North Carolina man alleged to have shot and injured a six-year-old girl, her parents, and a neighbor after a basketball rolled into his yard. And reportedly, police are still looking for that man. Now, we know there is unreported gun violence across this country, but this spate seems different to us and maybe to Washington Post national columnist Philip Bump. He joins us now. Hi, Philip.
Good afternoon.
And you've written about this. By different to us, this seemed to be about self-defense, when there's nothing to defend against. Your column is titled America's Toxic Mix of Guns, Concern Over Crimes, and fear-mongering. Tease that apart for us. The guns connected to fear. Talk about that title.
Yeah, so the United States has far more guns per civilian than any other country in the world. There are about 120 guns for every 100 Americans at this point in time. That's according to, you know, estimates. We don't have great numbers on that. So there are a lot of guns that are floating out there. And that's occurring at a time when Americans are increasingly hearing about rising crime, particularly through conservative media. There's been this huge surge in discussions about crime. On top of that, we see polling from Gallup, which suggests that between 2005 and 2021, the percentage of Americans who said that they owned a gun for protection against crime had surged from about two-thirds of respondents to nearly 9 in 10. So we see this huge increase in Americans who have guns, say they have the guns for protection against crime, and are now seeing these reports that crime is surging all around them. This is a combination of things, which certainly, I think, explains to some extent the environment in which these acts are occurring.
Well, let's take the terrible story of Ralph Yarl. Again, he's black. He was shot in Kansas City by an 84-year-old white man, Andrew Lester, who said he felt threatened, even though Ralph didn't cross the threshold. He came to the wrong house to pick up his siblings. Now, you wrote in your column, it's not necessarily true that the shooters from Kansas City say, you just, you know, chose Andrew Lester as an example, this 84-year-old. It's not necessarily true that they're consumers of Fox News, which is doing some of this fear-mongering. And then you went on to write, the odds are they weren't, you know, influenced by that. Your point being that the fear generated by Fox goes out in the air, social media and everywhere. But in fact, today we heard an extraordinary interview with that shooter's grandson, Clint Ludwig. This is, again, the grandson of the 84-year-old, devastated for Ralph Yarl's family. And he told CNN he believes his grandfather does watch Fox and does hold racist tendencies and beliefs.
I feel like a lot of people of that generation are caught up in this 24-hour news cycle of fear and paranoia perpetuated by some other news stations. And he was fully into that, sit and watch Fox News all day, every day, blaring in his living room. And I think that stuff really kind of reinforces this negative view of minority groups.
Philip, if you've been watching in the last few days since, you know, Fox was embroiled in a trial, the network pivoted to round-the-clock coverage of a few terrible, but just a few violent incidents. That's all you see. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, they've been doing this really since the summer of 2020, when this new surge in Black Lives Matter protests, you know, there were times at which this sort of spiraled into these acts of violence, and they were hyping those repeatedly as the 2020 election approached. And then once Joe Biden became president, they really seized upon this idea that there was this huge spike in crime. Crime did rise between 2019 and 2021 in a lot of places, and as measured by the FBI broadly. But, you know, we've not seen the sort of surge that gets us back to, you know, anywhere close to where we were 30 years ago, for example. But Fox News has really hammered on this point, again, especially as the midterms approached last year, and they use these anecdotal examples of individual crimes, particularly in New York City, at this point is a defense of Donald Trump against the DA in Manhattan in part, but they use these anecdotal examples to suggest that crime is out of control because it fits their political needs. When I wrote that the odds were that he wasn't a Fox News viewer, that's simply because the data shows that most people don't watch cable news. That this guy did, and that his family members see that as an influencing factor on him, doesn't surprise me in the least.
Well, you write that actually a lot of this fear-mongering comes from apps that don't intend it, but that's what's happened. App Nextdoor, we've got about a minute. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Nextdoor is an example of the sorts of ways in which social media allows people to share these sort of these fear-mongering stories, right? There's a guy in my neighborhood, I don't even know what to do about it, blah, 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 call the cops. You see these things on Nextdoor and similar apps all the time. Nextdoor even has a page like, when you are reporting on a crime, here's what to look out for and what not to look out for. And they even include a mention of the ways in which race should be excluded from those discussions to the extent that they can, because they recognize it's a problem. We are in this culture now where everyone is very attuned to this idea that crime is all around them and that this is having, in some cases, tragic results.
And they have to defend themselves against this, the thing that isn't there. Washington Post national columnist Philip Bump, thanks for getting this conversation started.
Thank you.